Every week, we stand up and greet one another. And I want you to know that there is a theology behind that greeting time. It is not just a way to kill minutes during our service. It is something that we are very intentional and want to do well. And I'm afraid that things like that in our service can become rote and can become trite and potentially lose their meaning. And as I look out at this group, especially when I'm preaching and trying to get everybody's attention to come back and pay attention to me, and instead you're paying attention to each other, I see a lot of good greeting going on. And it's so hard to break up the wonderful fellowship and the conversations that happen in that short time. But I want to feed that time with a little bit from God's Word this evening, so that we can do that well, so that we can do that intentionally and intelligently. And I think that that spills out into not only our official meet and greet moment in the service, but also the way that we care for one another, love one another, greet one another outside of our official greeting time. In our small group a number of weeks ago, one of the men shared with us from 1 Corinthians 15. And I'd love for you to open in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we hear this command from the Apostle Paul. He says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." And I want to talk about that just a little bit. I'm in the wrong chapter. What chapter am I supposed to be in? Matt, what did you preach on? 1 Corinthians 16, right? Yes, there we go. 1 Corinthians 16. Do you see that there in verse 20? "All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." I want to talk about what that means just a little bit. First of all, this is a command. We are commanded to greet one another. This is to be an ongoing, regular practice of believers in the church to bring greetings to one another. The recipients of this greeting is stated there, one another. That means everybody in the church of Corinth was commanded by Paul to greet everybody else in the church at Corinth. Now, as you know, the church at Corinth was filled with divisions across many lines. There were divisions over race, there were divisions over social status, over financial status, there were party lines and factions. Corinthian believers were suing each other in the public courts. People were arguing and fighting over the various dispensations of spiritual gifts. There were Roman citizens and there were non-citizens. There were Jews and Gentiles. There were slaves and there were freemen. There were men and there were women. There were rich and there were poor, all in Corinth. And Paul commanded the Corinthian believers to love one another with this expression, "Greet one another." And so the rich were to greet the poor, and the Jews were to greet the Gentiles. Across every line of natural division, unity was to break out in the way that the believers in Corinth were to greet one another. The gospel brings all of these divided parties together. Where naturally they would be separated, they would fight, they would despise one another, they would rush to the communion table and some would eat and be drunk and others would be left behind. The gospel is designed by God to change all of that. The gospel is designed by God to bring people like this together. And how were they to greet one another? Notice the text says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." Some of you are protesting already. There are places in the world today, and it was certainly true in the ancient Near East and in the Near East in Paul's day, that men would kiss men in public, and they would kiss each other as a sign of warm affection, fondness, close friendship, and family relationships. If you go to Russia today, believers will take each other by the face and kiss. It was a sign reserved for those who were intimate friends, close friends, and family members. But notice something about this verse. Paul tells all of believers, greet one another. This isn't just for the natural ties of fond affection. This is believer to believer in the church, across rich and poor, slave and free, Jew and Gentile, across all of those barriers. And I know you're begging to know, are we really supposed to kiss each other? I'm convinced that this was a social convention. In fact, if you go to Russia today, non-believing Russian men will kiss each other in public, but only those who are close, intimate friends. And there's nothing romantic about this kiss, by the way. It is just a warm sign of fond friendship and affection. But notice what Paul says about this greeting. This is to be a holy kiss. So even if the kiss was a cultural phenomenon, Paul wants it to be separate from that in the church. He wants it to be distinct from the way the world greets one another. If our world today gives knuckles, we're to give holy knuckles, right? If men at work or in a bar or at a football game will embrace each other in a manly hug, we're to do that in a holy way, set apart, in a way that bespeaks the gospel, in a way that bespeaks the unity that the gospel intends to promote. The sign of warm affection for close friends and family ought to extend to every single member of the body of Christ. We are to greet one another with a holy kiss. Warm affection, a set-apart greeting. I think there are a number of purposes in this command. Number one, to unify God's people. The Corinthians were naturally divided. It would be so easy for us in this room to be naturally divided against many of the same lines that the Corinthians were divided. And this kind of warm, affectionate greeting that is to flow out of selfless love ought to unify God's people. Secondly, I think this kind of thing is to confound a watching world. The world ought to see our unity and say, what in the world is going on there? Who are those people? What brought them together? These people wouldn't normally be together, and yet they're together, and they love each other, and it's visible. You can see it when they meet on the street. You can see it when they stand up and greet one another. You know, the believers in that church, they don't just look for the people that it's easy to talk to or fun to talk to or the people they would naturally be attracted to. No, there is a warm, fond affection for everybody there. No division. Not the rich hanging out with the rich and the Gentiles hanging out with the Gentiles and this faction with that faction. The people following Apollos over in this corner and the people of Paul and Cephas. And greet one another with a holy kiss. And this greeting is to proclaim the power of the gospel in a group of people. And what does this mean for our greeting time? When we stand up in a few moments and greet one another, Dre Harris might kiss you. I don't know. He's a literalist, and I've seen him apply this verse very literally. And if you were to go to Russia today, the men in the church would embrace you and kiss you. I don't, whatever you want to do with the cultural thing there, but it must be holy and it must be warm and it must be affectionate and it must display the unity that the gospel is supposed to promote in the church. Outside of our greeting time, what might this look like? We ought to see each other and be glad for the warm bonds that the gospel produces in us. There is something unique between believers. Anywhere you go in the world, Janet and I had a unique experience a number of years ago to be in Russia, to be in Moscow, and to be greeted with holy kisses in the church. And another thing that they did in the church, when visitors came from other churches in Russia, from other places all around the world, they would point us out. They would point out the visitors, make the visitors stand up, and the entire church together would say, "We greet you in the Lord Jesus." Isn't that good? And then the visitor would know that they were supposed to respond, "Well, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. From the churches in Los Angeles, we bring you greeting. From the churches in Phoenix, we bring you greeting in the Lord Jesus." And there would be this back and forth response of greeting. That's really sweet. We have the opportunity tonight to do that. As you know, Jim and Jean Young are to be married next weekend. And Gene Young's family is here, and they've come from Korea to be with us. And so I'd like to ask them, I don't know how to ask you in Korean to stand, but would you stand? And we're going to greet you in the Lord Jesus, and we're going to try to do it in Korean. Okay? So I have the Korean for you up here. Okay? So now, we're going to read this together, and we're going to greet Jin Young's family in Korean. Ready? Here we go. Yi sunim idiom ro tangshi nido hanyong hopnidia. So, no, we're not done yet. You're going to do this. We're all going to do this. So, okay, we've got a little help here. Okay, ready? Now, I hope I didn't inflect it wrong and say something really bad. Okay, let's try it together, shall we? One, two, three. Yisu nim idyum oro tangshi nado hanyong hapnidya. All right. We are so glad that you're here. Thank you. So with all that said, we're going to dismiss the kids. Stand up and greet one another.